André de Ruyter officially took up his job as the CEO of Eskom on the 6th of January, although Jan Oberholzer, the chief operating officer, told Kino that they had meetings, plenty of them, in the week before that. He's remained, and I think it was correct for him to do so, remain silent up until now, but he has now started giving a couple of interviews, one to Business Day newspaper and one to Business Insider. Philip De Wet, associate editor at Business Insider, has spoken in the last several hours to both André de Ruyter and Pravin Gordhan, who is his political boss. And Philip, good afternoon. You sound quite impressed.
Hello, John. I am relatively impressed. I actually spoke to André de Ruyter and my colleague, Peter, spoke to Pravin Gordhan. It happened on the same day. So I'm afraid I couldn't directly compare the two, but Peter and I ended up comparing notes afterwards. Look, caveats. André de Ruyter is a very polished executive. This is not his first rodeo. We also spent quite a short amount of time with him, because it's quite hard to argue that he should be sitting for 2-3-4 hour interviews rather than keeping on the lights. So that said, you know, I kind of got a snapshot view of him. But I am impressed. He comes across as someone who is quietly confident, someone who believes that he can do this job, someone who thinks that Eskom can be turned around and that it can be done without major disruption to South Africa. And I left there despite myself kind of thinking, well, maybe this time, yes, he can.
He's presenting a plan to the board at the end of January, and we, I suppose, unrealistic to expect him to share significant details of that plan with the media before he puts it in front of the board. But, you know, I mean, if the biggest thing he can say to you in practical terms is we're going to push energy-saving light bulbs, I hope the plan you put before the board has more than that.
Yes, so he seems to be walking quite a fine line here. You know, he understands clearly that South Africans want to know what's going on, but at the same time, he wants to give the board the leeway and not, you know, walk into that meeting with them basically being under siege by us from the public. So the kind of broad strokes ideas he gave us is that he wants to, first of all, he is firmly committed to no forced retrenchments at Eskom. He says that's the president's mandate, so we'll do that. Fine. However, he talks about the headcount trending down over time through voluntary retrenchments, through people pensioning out. Part of the workforce is quite old. So we know that he's thinking about shrinking Eskom. We know that he wants to focus on demand-side management, something that's kind of fallen by the wayside. And the example that I pushed him on was solar geysers. The example that he volunteered was compact fluorescent light bulbs. But I think there's quite a lot else happening there. As he says, you can spend very little money and get quite a good return on that during peak times, you know, which means negotiating with major industrial and mining users and so on around peak times. We know that he wants to save money by getting Eskom back on track and doing rather simple things like not burning that much diesel, which is an extraordinarily expensive way to go about things. And we kind of get the sense that he agrees with this kind of proto plan, that maybe there should be a long-term load shedding plan to say we need to catch up on maintenance. Maybe we need to take some of these power stations offline entirely. That means that over a 2 or 3 month period, there's going to be rolling blackouts throughout South Africa and getting South Africa to sign off on that. So, you know, he's talking nothing extraordinary. All of this is very common sense. None of it is very new. But then all of it kind of makes sense at the same time.
Yeah, and absent from that is the sort of political policy issues, the fact that there is without doubt factionalism within the ANC and perhaps even in cabinet in terms of the way Eskom needs to go. There is union unhappiness about the position that Eskom needs to be broken up and that we need to have an independent generation unit and so on. The ANC Lekgotla's decision over the last weekend to be more welcoming towards independent power producers, to allow cities to procure their own electricity. I mean, all of those things are nice on paper, but in a negotiation room with a recalcitrant union, whether it's representing technical workers or middle management, it gets a little more complicated.
Look, it does. Andre de Ruyter uses words like collaborative. I want to have a collaborative approach rather than a confrontational one. He speaks about having the full support of the shareholder, which suggests that he thinks that perhaps if necessary, up to the level of Cyril Ramaphosa, the politicians will come out to bat and that he won't have to bother with the political side, that he can just get around to running the business. That is at best slightly naive. It is perhaps extremely naive. I mean, this is a highly politicized situation that he finds himself in and that Eskom finds himself in. And yet, you know, he's kind of offering this line that says, we're all in this together. South Africans need to pull together. This is a matter of patriotic use of our resources as best we can. And he's kind of adopting this leadership approach, which seeks to almost pull all of us along so that perhaps if you have a recalcitrant union, the pressure on that union to fall into line will not just come from the president, but will come from the broader public and perhaps its members outside of Eskom. I think he's trying to build that kind of broad coalition of South Africa so that everyone will end up sitting around the table and singing Kumbaya in harmony.
Good luck to him. Many people have tried that. Not too many have succeeded. Philip DeVette of Business Insider.